don't thank you every night. I want you to know that inshallah this is something you should keep up. And especially our parents as well, we should encourage our children to come forward and learn the madhab of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. If we hold fast onto Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, they will give us knowledge from sources we never imagined. People will be amazed where we are getting that knowledge from. This is all from the sadaqah of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. At the same time, if I can request some of you to come forward, please. I'm being told we need to leave some room behind for latecomers, inshallah. If you can come forward. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wa Ali Muhammad. Ahsan, jazakum Allah. I would also like to take this opportunity to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, as the announcement you heard from Brother Hussain Chagani, to inshallah contribute and keep this center alive. This is a mosque of Allah, and we are told in hadith, Man bana masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. One who constructs a mosque, Allah will construct for him a house in paradise. And the Quran again tells us, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ. Those who build mosques, those who upkeep mosques, are only those people who believe in Allah and the hereafter. So I don't want to try and campaign and sell this to you, but sometimes it helps to remind ourselves, because again the Quran says it is shaitan who makes you stingy and who makes you afraid of poverty. So sometimes we need someone to remind us that when will I give something from my wealth? I will give when I believe in something, isn't it? If you come to me and say, I'm building a mosque, can you donate? I will give you $1, $2, $5, whatever I can afford. But if you come to me and say, I'm building a banquet hall, what will I say to you? I'll tell you, keep moving. Why? Because I don't believe in it. So we only become generous when we believe in something. And if we believe in the Aza of Abu Abdullah, if we believe that what is being conducted here is a good thing, if we believe in Salat, if we believe in these madrasas, if we believe they are useful and beneficial, then it is us as individuals that make the community, and we should inshallah keep it up. Over and above that, when we give towards a mosque, when we give charity, when we give to help another fellow believer, we are not giving, we are investing. It will come back to us one day. There will come a day for each one of us here when we will dig a hole and lie you down, and we will throw dirt on you and walk away. We will cry for you for a few days, we will pray for you for a few days, and then we will forget you. Rest assured, we will forget you. And it is at those times that these $1 and $2 that you are giving that will come back and inshallah give you that light and that companionship that we will all be looking for in our graves. So inshallah, I am encouraging myself as well that we should, inshallah, especially on these blessed nights, we should show our love for the Ahlul Bayt and our willingness to keep this message alive, inshallah. If you can recite aloud, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala صلى الله وسلم عليك يا رسول الله وعلى أهل بيتك المعصومين المنتجبين الميامين لعن الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين السلام على أمير المؤمنين ويعصوب الدين وقائد الغر المحجلين السلام على شهيد المحراب والصلاة السلام على من خضب شيبته بالدماء ونعاه جبرائيل في السماء بأفجأ النداء مناديا تهدمت والله أركان الهدى وانفسمت العروة الوثقى قتل ابن عمي رسول الله قتل علي المرتضى قتله أشقى الأشقياء ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا علي سلمك سلمي وحربك حربي صلوات على محمد وعلى آله This famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that I just quoted to you, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, in which he says, O Ali, your peace is my peace and your war is my war. One who makes peace with you makes peace with me. One who is at war with you is at war with me. This hadith will form the basis of our majlises for the next 3 nights, in which we will see how Muslim scholars have treated the character or the shakhsiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in the books of history and the books of hadith, in the Kutub al-Tariq and Kutub al-Hadith. And we will come to the inevitable conclusion that even if Ali was nothing but one of the Sahaba, there is no Sahaba to whom as much dhulm has been done as to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam by the pen of Muslim scholars. Under normal circumstances, we, the Shia of Ali, are accused of cursing the Sahaba and fabricating lies about them and speaking ill of them, and of praising the Prophet too much and calling him ma'soom and infallible. Those who are not Shias, they point mistakes about the Prophet in their tafsir of Quran, that one day, na'udhu billah, he missed his prayers, or one day, na'udhu billah, he frowned at someone, or one day, na'udhu billah, he disobeyed Allah because of his wives. But if you try to say something about the Sahaba, they object. They say, don't say anything about the Sahaba. So the difference between the Shia and the non-Shia is that the Shia say the Prophet is ma'asum, the Sahaba are not. While the rest of the Muslims say the Prophet is not ma'asum, but the Sahaba are ma'asum. What is the difference? You may not claim in the concept of isma, but if the Sahaba have no faults whatsoever, then they are ma'asum, whether you say it or not. So if Ali is one of the Sahaba, why do you ascribe filthy attributes to him? Why do you suppress his fadila and his excellence? That is the question that we will be asking. All the narrations that we wish to quote over these 2 or 3 nights can be divided into 2 groups. The first group will be examples from the books of history and hadith where the fadila and the excellence of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was intentionally suppressed so that people should not find the truth. The other category of narrations in the books of hadith and tariq will be false traditions that were fabricated to spoil and bring down the character of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So let us begin with the first group for tonight. The first example, and we shall quote only traditions and books of history that are from non-Shia sources. And we will see how they praised him and they raised him, but to the degree that they raised him, they lowered him. One scholar would praise him, another one would put a footnote to bring him down. The one who put him down would praise him elsewhere, another one would put him down elsewhere. So we are not going to quote any ahadith, any scholars I quote, any books I quote, these are all non-Shia, well-known, respected scholars in the non-Shia world. The first example is from Hadithul Inzar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn the nearest of your kin. This was the first message, the first command to the Prophet, that before you warn the public, before you preach to the public, first gather your family and tell them the message. This hadith that I'm going to narrate to you is narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad and by the author of Kanzul Ummal, which is another well-known classic work, Al-Muttaqi al-Hindi. They quote that the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family, stood before his family. He said, I bring you news which no youth has ever brought to his own people. I am the Messenger of God. He gives them the news. Then he says to them, أَيُّكُمْ يُعَاذِرُنِي فِي أَمْرِي أَنْ يَكُونَ أَخِي وَوَصِي وَخَلِيفَتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ. Who amongst you will support me in this matter so that he may be my brother and my successor, my trustee, and my Khalifa after me? My brother, my trustee, and my successor after me. فَسَقَتَ الْقَوْمُ إِلَّا عَلِيٌّ وَهُوَ أَصْغَرُهُمْ سِنَّةً. The whole community remained quiet except for Ali, and he was the youngest amongst them. فَقَامَ عَلِيٌّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنَا أُعَاذِرُكَ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Ali stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, I will support you. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي وَوَصِي وَخَلِيفَتِي مِمْ بَعْدِي. So the Prophet raised his hands and prayed, O Allah, this Ali, he is my brother and my trustee and my successor after me. Who is quoting this? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad and Al-Muttaqi al-Hindi in his Kanzul Ummal. Well-known, respected classic works. What do Muslim scholars say about this? Tabari, famous historian in his tafsir, he has a big work of history known as Tariq al-Tabari, which is widely used in universities as well when people want to study Islamic history. He has his famous tafsir as well. Tabari in his tafsir, Al-Zahabi, Muhammad Haykal in his Hayatu Muhammad or Life of Muhammad, well-known book as well. What do they say about this incident? They say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّكُمْ يُعَاذِرُنِي فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَخِي وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. Who amongst you will support me in this matter so that he may become my brother, etc., etc.? فَقَامَ عَلِيٌّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَقَالَ أَنَا أُعَاذِرُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَا عَلِي أَنْتَ أَخِي وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. What is the meaning of وَكَذَا وَكَذَا? You are writing a book of history. Are you tired? Are you bored? What is the point of writing if you are going to say, etc., etc.? What would you think of me as a scholar if I was to write a book on a field that I am supposed to be an expert on, but I put dot, 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 fill in the blanks, etc., etc.? Why? This is suppression of the fadila of Ali. Not one, various. These are three sources only. And what is the significance of these two words that have been replaced with etc., etc.? What is their significance? وَصِيِّ وَخَلِيفَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. If the Prophet truly said this, then why should the Muslims not know about it? Why do we hide it? Why do we not want the Muslims today to know that what the... Because why? Because then the young generation will begin asking, wait a minute, the Prophet said, Ya Ali, anta akhi wa wasi wa khalifati min ba'di. But now when the younger generation read the book, they will see the Prophet said, anta akhi wa kada wa kada. You are my brother, etc., etc. That's left to your imagination. This is one example. The second example where books of history and hadith deliberately suppress the fadila of Ali is Hadithul Ghadir. Hadithul Ghadir, widely quoted by a lot of Muslim scholars. Tabari has two volumes just discussing this hadith and the various chains of narrators who quote this hadith. He quotes this hadith from 36 different chains of narrators. Sitta wa talathuna turuq. That the Prophet gathered the people at Qum after his last pilgrimage and said, Alastu awla bikum min anfusikum. Do I not have a greater right over you than you have over your own selves? They said, Bala ya Rasulullah. Indeed you do, O Rasulullah. So he said, Man kuntu mawlahu. فَهَذَا عَلِيٌ مَوْلَى. Whosoever's Mawla I am, this Ali is his Mawla as well. Then the Prophet prayed, اللَّهُمَّ وَالِي مَنْ وَالَاهُ وَعَادِي مَنْ عَادَاهُ. O Allah, befriend, be a guardian to one who befriends Ali, and be an enemy to one who is an enemy of Ali. وَانْصُرْ مَنْ نَصَرَهُ وَخْذُلْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُ. And help one who helps Ali, and disgrace one who disgraces Ali, who tries to disgrace Ali. وَعَدِرِ الْحَقِّ حَيْثُ دَارِ. And let truth turn wherever Ali turns. Not let Ali turn where truth turns. No, let truth turn where Ali turns. This is dua of the Prophet. Alusi, the author of Ruh al-Ma'ani, writes about this hadith. What does he say about Hadithul Ghadir? He says, هذا حديث محل ريب. This hadith is doubtful. Why? لأن الشيخين البخاري ومسلم لم يروياه في صحيحيهما. Because the two sheikhs, البخاري and Muslim, did not quote this hadith in their sahihs. Because this hadith is not in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, therefore this hadith is mahallu raybin, it is doubtful. What do you say as a Muslim? Do you agree with this? Does this make sense to you? First of all, are you saying that any hadith that is not in Bukhari and Muslim is doubtful? And are you saying every hadith that is in Bukhari and Muslim Sahih is true and Sahih? And if you are saying so, what is the dalil? What is the proof of that? Firstly. Secondly, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has narrated this hadith in 16 different ways. We said Tabari 36, Ahmad ibn Hanbal through 16 different chains of narrators, different turuq. Thirdly, Al-Mustadrak al-Hakim. Al-Hakim composed, another very well-known scholar, composed a work of hadith called Al-Mustadrak. It's known as Al-Mustadrak al-Hakim. He collected all the ahadith that were missed by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, but their validity follows the same strict rules and conditions and criteria of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Ala shartis shaykhain. The reason, one of the reasons why our Sunni brothers and sisters give so much importance to Al-Bukhari and Muslim's work is because they say Al-Bukhari and Muslim, when they composed their books of hadith, they didn't just collect them. They had a certain criteria, they had certain conditions that every hadith must fulfill these conditions before they could be entered into their work. So they had a certain way of measuring the validity of a hadith, whether it's sahih or not. So Al-Hakim composed a work following the conditions and the strict criteria of Bukhari and Muslim, ala sharti shaykhain, but he collected all those traditions that they were not able to find. And in that work of his, he quotes this hadith al-Ghadir, and he says this hadith is sahih, ala sharti shaykhain. It is valid and trustworthy on the strict conditions of the shaykhain. Fourthly, or thirdly, is every hadith in Bukhari sahih? In Bukhari, on the chapter concerning burial and Salatul Janaza, it says that when the Prophet Musa alayhi salam's time to die came and Malakul Maut came to him, he didn't want to die. Falapamahu, he slapped him so hard that one of his eyes, his right eye, popped out of Malakul Maut. Wabaqiyat lahu aynun, he was left with only one eye. So Malakul Maut is a one-eyed angel, according to Imam al-Bukhari. What do Muslims say about this? Is this sahih? No wonder nowadays Malakul Maut doesn't come in physical form. No? All he needs is another Musa to slap him, and then we have a blind Malakul Maut. You will never stay near a dying person because he might grab the wrong soul. What do Muslims say about this hadith? This is in Imam Bukhari's sahih, following the strict conditions and shurut. But hadith al-Ghadir, mahallu raibin, it is doubtful. Is every Muslim blind to this? Do they not see this? And then Ibn Taymiyyah, the Muslims call him Shaykh al-Islam. Shaykh al-Islam, what does he say? He says, this hadith al-Ghadir is sahih. Man kuntu mawlahu fahada aliyun mawlah. But the rest of it, the dua of the Prophet, is not true. Allahumma wali man wala, wa adi man ada, wa ansur man nasara, wa akhzul man khadala, wa adir al-haqqa haythu dar. He says, hadhihi ziyada mawdu' wa kadib. It is a fabrication and a lie. Why, Shaykh al-Islam? Why is it a lie? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in the 16 different turuq in which he quotes this hadith, 7 times he quotes the dua as well. An-Nasa'i, in his Sunan, Sunan an-Nasa'i, he quotes this with the whole dua. Why are you suppressing the fadila of Ali? And this Nasa'i, who compiled this Sunan, very well known Sunan of Nasa'i, asked the Muslims, how did he die? He went to Damascus. He found the people there in extreme enmity and hatred for Amir al-Mu'mineen. They had been brainwashed by the Umayyads. He was alarmed to see how much they had been brainwashed. The children used to be told, sleep, otherwise Ali will come. He was being used as a boogeyman to scare the children to sleep at night. Generations grew with this idea that Ali was not a Muslim, a'udhu billah. Ali never prayed. Ali, and he is the person who rescued Islam at every stage of the way. Thanks so to the Umayyads. A man at the time of Hajjaj comes to Hajjaj and cries and says, "Inna ahli aqawni ay haythu sammawni aliyya. My family has done zulm on me by naming me Ali. I am a poor man now, nobody wants to help me." This is the kind of mentality that existed in Syria. It wasn't just cursing him from the minbar, that went on for 70 years. But there was fabrications that were created. There was a different picture of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Syria. This Imam Nasai says he went to Damascus, he found the people there totally with a wrong picture of who Ali ibn Abi Talib was. He says, "I feared for them, for their hereafter. So I wrote a book on the fada'il of Ali." He's not even a Shia. He wrote a book, Khasa'is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then he went up on the pulpit and began reading those ahadith of the Prophet in the fadilat of Amir al-Mu'mineen to show the people who Ali was. They stopped him. They said, "What do you say about the fadila of Muawiyah?" He said, "Wallah, I have heard only one hadith from the Prophet in the fadila of Muawiyah. That the Prophet of Allah said to Muawiyah, 'La ashba Allahu batnak.' May Allah never fill your stomach." This is the only fadila I know of Muawiyah. Why did the Prophet say this as well? Because there was a day when the Prophet said, "Call Muawiyah." When the people went to call him, he said, "Tell the Prophet to wait, I am eating." The Prophet sent again a message, "Call Muawiyah. Tell Rasulullah to wait, I am eating." Three times. The Prophet said, "La ashba'u Allahu batnak." May Allah never satiate your stomach. Muawiyah used to eat and eat and eat until he would vomit. And he would say, "By Allah, I am still hungry." This is the curse of the Prophet on him. Imam Nasai says, this is the only fadila I know of him. The people of Damascus, they punched him, they kicked him, they pulled him down from the minbar, they injured him, and they threw him out of Damascus. He died of injuries because of trying to defend Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he was not even a Shia. Abu al-Hasan, he is mazloom through the ages. Ali was mazloom from the day he stood to fight for Islam. Ali was mazloom during the time of the Prophet. Ali was mazloom for 25 years after the Prophet's demise. Ali was mazloom for the years that he reigned over the people. He used to say to the people, "People complain of oppressive leaders. I have to complain that my subjects are oppressing me." Ali is also mazloom even after his shahada. His Shias also through the ages have been oppressed. If they could do that to Imam Nasai, what do you think they would do to a Shia in those days? What do you think they would do to a Shia today? There are places in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and now even in Iraq. You would not dare go to certain places as a Shia. They will cut you up into pieces and still believe that they are going to go to Jannah because they killed you. For what sin will they kill you? They will kill you because of your love for Ali. But a Shia is something else. To be a Shia is something else. May our mothers and our fathers be ransomed for Ali. If they blow us up, if they cut us into pieces and bring us back to life, we will still stand with Ali. Because Ali stands with the truth. And Ali is the distinguishing factor of a believer and a hypocrite. Never ever oppose fada'il of Ali. Sometimes I hear people out of ignorance condemning majlises in which only fada'il is recited. Yes, there is a need for other things as well. But sometimes when there is only fada'il, there is condemnation. Oh, this is just, this Maulana is just entertaining. It's not entertainment. It's not a joke. This is how the truth has survived with the minority, with the shares of Ali. It has to be passed on from generation to generation. We need to stand firm with Ali bin Abi Talib. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Tonight is no ordinary night. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr, a very special night, night of Ibadah. But it is also a very different night in the houses of Banu Hashim. Laylatul Aza, Laylatul Musiba, Laylatul Ma'atam fi Buyut Bani Hashim. It is a night of grief and sorrow in the homes of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This night there is no peace in the house of Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. This night Zainab Al-Aqila is doing ma'atam. This night Umm Kulthum is crying for her father. We are told the narration about the 19th night comes to us from the daughter of Imam Ali, Umm Kulthum, that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in the month of Ramadan, he would take turns and have iftar at a different home with his children. One day he would have iftar at the house of Al-Hasan, one day at the house of Imam Hussein, one day at the house of Muhammad al-Hanafiya. This night, the 19th night, he spent the night at the house of Umm Kulthum. Umm Kulthum says, when the time for iftar came, I placed a tray of food before my father. There was some bread and some salt and some milk. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam looked at the food. He said, Ya Bunayya, you do not know that your father does not eat such a variety of food at one go. My daughter, one who eats excessively in this world, will stand longer for accounting on the Day of Judgment. Take one of these away from here. And his other children report that since this month of Ramadan started, Ali would not eat more than three mouthfuls. And people would ask him, Ya Ali, why are you eating so little in this month? He would say, I wish to see my Lord again when I am hungry. I wish to meet my Lord again when I am of an empty stomach. Umm Kulthum says he had a little bit to eat. Then he began doing his ibadat. He started worshipping Allah. He was doing dhikr constantly all night. She began hearing him saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. He kept repeating this again and again. He began reciting Surah Yasin. He completed the whole Yasin. Again he began reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Most surely we come from Allah and to Him we shall return. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength and no might except with Allah, Al-Aliyyu Al-Azim, the Most High and the Most Glorious. Umm Kulthum says, I asked my father, Ya Abata, you make me worried with the way you keep repeating this. Why do you keep saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un? She says, Ali says to her, Ya Bunayya, my time with you now is limited. I will not be with you for very long. Ali knew these were one of the nights in which he will be assassinated. Umm Kulthum says, Amir al-Mu'mineen then went to sleep. He slept for a bit. Then suddenly he woke up startled in the middle of the night and called out to Umm Kulthum, Ya Bunayya, Nadi li Awladi. O Umm Kulthum, call my children, call Hassan and Hussein quickly, I need to speak to my children. Umm Kulthum goes to the next house, they were all within the same neighborhood. She calls all the sons and all the daughters of Ali, they all come to him in the middle of the night. What is it, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? My children, he says to them, I just had a dream that you must know about. What did you dream, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, I saw Jibreel standing on the Mount Abu Qubais. He had two stones with him. He struck the two stones together and there were sparks that came out from this stone. There was not a house of a believer in Mecca or Medina or Kufa in which one of these sparks or ashes did not enter. The children said, Ya Abata, what does this dream mean? What is the ta'wil of this dream? He says to them, "My dear children, if this dream is true, then this is the night in which you will lose me. This is the night in which I will be assassinated." The children begin to cry. Zainab begins to cry, "Ya Abata, do not leave the house." Then Ali says to her, "You cannot escape from your destiny. You cannot escape from what is your fate. I saw Rasulullah in my dream as well. He said to me, 'Oh Ali, you have done all that you could do. Let the people go now. You are returning to us shortly.'" Imam Hassan says he tried to stay with his father, but Imam Ali says to him, "Oh Hassan, go back to your home. Look after the women." And again Ali begins to pray. He is praying again, sometimes standing, sometimes in ruku, sometimes in sajda. Umm Kulthum says, time and again he would come out of the house, he would come out of his room, he would go out into the courtyard, into the sahan, he would look up towards the heavens, he would say, "Wallah, wallah, this is the night I was promised. هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي وَعِدْتُ بِهَا. This is the night that I was promised. Wallah, مَا كَذَّبْتُ وَمَا كُذِّبْتُ. By Allah, never have I lied, nor have I been lied to. This is the night that I was promised." Again Ali would go inside. Again he would be praying. Dawn began appearing. Ali stood up to get dressed. Zainab is now there with Umm Kulthum. Ali is putting on his clothes. As he ties his waistcloth, as he ties his izar, he is reciting his own marsiya. Ali is reciting his own elegy. How madloom Ali has become, that he has to cry for his own self. Zainab and Umm Kulthum are listening to their father. What is Ali saying as he fastens his waistcloth? "Oshdud hayazimaka lil maut, fa innal maut laqi." O Ali, fasten your waistcloth for death, for most surely death is coming to you. "Oshdud hayazimaka lil maut, fa innal maut laqi." وَلَا تَجْزَى مِنَ الْمَوْتِ إِذَا حَلَّى بِوَادِيكَ. O Ali, do not flee from death when it comes to you in your valley. فَكَمَا أَضْحَكَكَ الدَّهْرُ كَذَا الدَّهْرُ يُبْكِيكَ. O Ali, just as time has made you laugh, time again shall make you weep. Ali puts on his clothes and begins to leave. As he approaches and starts leaving the home, the geese and the ducks that are out in the courtyard begin surrounding him as if trying to stop him. They begin making all kinds of noise and people begin to try and move them away. He says, "Leave them, da'uhunna fa innahunna nawa'ih." Let them be, for they are crying for their imam. They know that which you do not know. Ali begins leaving his home for his final journey towards Allah. As he walks again towards the mosque in the dark night, he keeps reciting, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim." Amir al-Mu'mineen gets to the mosque of Kufa. He ascends the minaret and begins giving adhan. This is the last azan of Ali. There will be another azan of another Ali 20 years from now in Karbala, which will be as historic. The people of Kufa said that was one azan that entered every house in Kufa. There was not a person who did not wake up and listen to the last azan of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ali descended from the minaret and began walking towards his mihrab. He began calling out to the people, "As-salat, as-salat, ya ibadallah. Wake up for prayers, O you servants of Allah." As Ali began walking towards his mihrab, he sees two people sleeping on the ground, on their stomach. He knows who this person is. He knows this is the cursed Ibn Muljim and this is Shabib. He moves them with his foot and says to them, "Do not sleep on your faces. فَإِنَّهَا نَوْمَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ." This is how shaitan sleeps on his faces. وَإِنْ شِئَتُ أَخْبَرْتُكَ بِمَا فِي ثِيَابِكَ. And if I wish, I will tell you what evil you conceal in your clothes. But Ali knows what they are hiding. Ali keeps moving towards the mihrab. Our imam gets to the mihrab. Ali was not struck in the salat of Fajr. Ali was struck while praying the nafila, the two rakats before Fajr. Ali stands up to pray. The mu'mineen are still gathering around the mosque. Some are leaving their homes. Some have gotten there doing wudu. Ali stands in his mihrab. Allahu Akbar. This is the final takbir of Ali. He recites his qira'at. He bends in ruku. Ali stands up from ruku. He prostrates now to his final sajda to his Lord. Ali is now in sajda communicating with his Lord. Who knows what Ali is saying to Allah in this final salat of his. Shabib and Mulji ibn Muljim decide this is the best opportunity they have to strike Ali. They rise and begin running towards Ali. Shabib removes his poison sword and tries striking Ali, but he misses. Ibn Muljim takes his sword and starts aiming for the forehead of Ali. As Imam raises his head with the same force, the curse Ibn Muljim brings his poison sword and strikes the forehead of Ali. Wa imama, wa aliya. With such force he cuts through the head of Ali that the blood from Ali's forehead dyes his beard with blood. For one eternal moment it is as if the whole universe becomes silent. And then suddenly the ground begins to quake and the mosque begins to shake. People begin hearing a voice from the heavens. Who is calling out? Jibreel is calling out. What is Jibreel calling out? Tahaddamat wallah arkanul huda. By Allah, the pillar of guidance has collapsed. Wanfasamat urwatul wutqa. That firm rope of Allah has been cut off. Qutila ibna ammil Mustafa. The cousin of Mustafa has been killed. Qutila Aliyun al-Murtada. Qatalahu ashqal ashqiya. Ali al-Murtada has been killed. The wretched of all people has killed him. Ibn Muljim turns to run while people go and grab him. Voices begin calling out from the mosque. Wa imama. Wa sayyida. Zainab and Umm Kulthum hear the voice of Jibreel. O Hassan and O Hussein, rush to the mosque. Something is not well with my father. Hassan and Hussein rush out to the mosque of Kufa. What do they see at the mihrab? Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Rasulallah, Ya Fatima al-Zahra. What is this condition of Ali? Ali is at the mihrab, bleeding from his forehead profusely. Bismillahi wa billah. He says, I begin in the name of Allah and with the strength from Allah. Wa ala millati rasulillah. Fuztu wa rabbil Kaaba. I have succeeded this day by the Lord of the Kaaba. This is the shahadat that Ali was yearning for. He begins reciting an ayat of Quran. Minha khalaknakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. O Ali, from this dust we brought you forth, and to this we shall return you, and from this we will bring you forth once again. The people gather out crying, wa imama, wa aliya, wa madluma. Ali calls Hassan, O Hassan, O Aba Muhammad, lead the people in Salatul Fajr. Ali is now put on an animal and taken back home. Zainab is standing at the door of the house. What does she see? An animal being brought with a body on it. Whose body is this? She asks. Yes, O Shias of Ali. Do you remember another incident where another little girl is standing waiting for a horse to come back with her father on it? The difference is here, there is a body on this horse. There was no body on Zuljanah. Sakina stood waiting for Hussein to come back. She grabbed the neck of Zuljanah. Zuljanah, what have you done with my father? Why did you not bring Aba Abdullah back? I would say, O Zainab, be strong. This is the first time a body comes back to you. 10 years from now, the body of Hassan will come back filled with arrows. 10 years after that, the body of Hussein will go. It will never come back again. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, how lucky you are this night. Every man who dies wants his sons to surround him while he is dying. Oh Ali, you have Hassan and Hussein. You have Muhammad al-Hanafiya and al-Abbas. Ghareeb Hussein, he had to give up all his sons before he could die. There was no one with Hussein when he was dying. The Shias of Ali in Kufa began thronging the house of Ali, calling out, Wa imama, wa aliya, wa mazluma, wa haydara. Matami Ali.
پردیس مسافر کی پردرد کہانی ہے پردیس مسافر کی پردرد کہانی ہے نظر جائے جس سمت نظر جائے جس سمت نظر جائے سانسوں کی روانی ہے پردیس مسافر کی پر درد کہانی ہے پردیس مسافر کے اے کرب بلا تیرے دامن میں چھپا کیا کیا اے کرب بلا تیرے دامن میں چھپا کیا کیا بچپن علی اصغر کا بچپن علی اصغر کا جپن علی اصغر کا اکبر کی جوانی ہے پردیس مسافر کے پر درد کہانی ہے پردیس شبیر یہ کہتے تھے میں کیسے اجازت دوں شبیر یہ کہتے تھے میں کیسے اجازت دوں اے قاسم تو میرے اے قاسم تو میرے اے قاسم تو میرے نشانی ہے پردیس مسافر کے پر درد کہانی ہے دیتے تھے صدا سرور عباس چلے اکبر کی میت علی اکبر کی میت علی اکبر کی اب مجھ کو اٹھانی ہے پردیس پردیس آنسون رکے لوگو شبیر کی مجلس میں آنسون رکے لوگو شبیر کی مجلس میں اس اجڑے ہوئے گھر کی اس اجڑے ہوئے گھر کی اس اجڑے ہوئے گھر کی یوں یاد منانی ہے پردیس مسافر درد کہانی ہے اے میرے خدا تجھ سے ہر وقت دعائیں تجھ سے ہر وقت دعائیں مولا کی صفے ماتم مولا کی صفے ماتم مولا کی صفے ماتم ہر گھر میں بچھانی ہے پردیس مسافر کے پردیس مسافر کی پر درد کہانی ہے پردیس مسافر کی پر درد کہانی ہے الفاتحہ
السلام علیکم یا رسول اللہ السلام علیکم یا امیر المؤمنین
السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم أئمة الهدى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي. السلام عليك يا حجة الله يا ابن الحسن يا صاحب العصر والزمان. السلام عليك يا كعبة الإيمان، عجل الله فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.